Welcome in the latest episode of the Five on the Floor program, Five Reasons Sports Network, also on the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio. You can catch us there every day from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com. Spell it out, F-I-V-E, reasonsports.com. There you can get all of our podcasts, including not just this one, but 3 Yards Per Carry, Five Rings, Canes, Light Skinned Opinions, Balls Cast, Shula Bowl, and more. All of our latest columns, opinions, and our YouTube channel. Several new YouTube shows are going up. Also, we've gotten permission to post a bunch of these Zoom videos with the Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, and the other teams. So those are going up on our YouTube channel. Also, check out all the great sponsors in the Five Reasons Sports Network. We appreciate everybody who's helped us kind of get through COVID. We're not totally through it yet, but obviously hoping to come out the other side. One of them is You Break It, Wheel Fix. It's youbreakwheelfix.com. If you're looking for powder coating, for custom color changes on wheels, if you're tired of your wheels, you want to give your car a new and refreshed look, by powder coating them a new color, and yes, you can do the Vice colors for the Miami Heat. They've also got a Dolphins color scheme up there too. It's really, really cool. You should check it out on the Twitter account, You Break Wheel Fix on Twitter. If your wheels are faded and scratched, you can renew them with their in-house wheel refinishing. You can repair damaged wheels that are curbed, bent, or cracked. And they've got 15 years of experience. Mark's been doing this a long time. So give him a call at 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. It's in North Miami, and they've got a deal for you. You get 10% off four wheels by using the code 5 Reasons Wheels. So again, the website, I always do this wrong, but it's youbreakwheelfix, W-H-E-E-L, fix.com. And now, today's episode.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back. Started something on the last episode. We're going to start you with a floor plan every time, just to tell you who's here, what we're going to be talking about. I've got Alphonse Sidney back, Alf954. I've got Alex Toledo at Tropical Blanket on Twitter. Check out the last episode, which we did with Greg Sylvander. Today, I didn't even realize this, guys, until I went on Twitter today and people were posting about it. 4 years to the day of Dwayne Wade announcing he was going to Chicago. And he didn't really announce it as much as he texted a handful of people. And I go back to the text that I got from him because I had been communicating with him during that time. He was not happy about what was going on. People around him were not happy about what was going on. And his text to me was, I said, "Is it done?" Because there were some reports out there that it was finished. I said, "Is it done?" And he texted me back and he said, "They didn't even try." And he went to Chicago. And what we're going to talk about today, he basically met with Mickey and Mickey hugged him. That's what he told me at the time. And he thought there was going to be a counter. As we know, he went to Chicago for essentially no more money because the money was the same when you looked at Illinois taxes and Miami. We were kind of laughing at Denver at the time, but as it turned out, they were building a pretty good program. That was the other team that was involved. Of course, he goes to Chicago. It doesn't really end up working out for him there. But he's teammate with Jimmy Butler for the first time because he hadn't been at Marquette, obviously. Jimmy came after him. And then he ends up going to Cleveland. We don't like to talk about that when LeBron. And then he's traded back here on the trade deadline for a second-round pick and, of course, finishes, which never even materialized. And he finishes his career here. Alf, I'm going to start with you. Looking back at it at the time, what was your reaction to the entire summer of 16 and the decision that he was leaving?
Before we get started, I'm going to state that all of this is actually a hypothetical because none of it actually happened. I refuse to acknowledge the Chicago and Cleveland years. It was kind of just like a nightmare fever dream. So that's first of all. So none of it ever happened. So I will stick with your hypothetical because why not? We have to do a podcast. But I remember thinking at the time, pay him. Whatever he wants, pay him. And then when the numbers started coming out, thinking, well, that seems fair. You know, whatever you want to say, if it was a 2 years for $20 million, you know, the numbers were going around. But I believe that I think everyone kind of settles on the 2 years for $20 million. And to me, I felt that was fair. So once that number came out, I was like, okay, well, I think that's fair for Dwayne. He's on the downside of his career, but, you know, they owe him, you know, like, let the guy just go out the way he needs to go out on the Miami Heat. Don't let him go anywhere else, because that would be a complete travesty. So when he left, I guess I felt like, well, I guess the Heat did what they needed to do to keep him. And I feel like what they did, what they gave him, what they offered was fair. So it was bittersweet, but I felt like at the time I was kind of on the Heat side of it. But mostly because, you know, as a fan looking in, you don't know all the permutations of the deal, all the disrespect, all the hurt feelings. I mean, both ways. You know, Dwayne on IG with his son singing, "Bitch, better have my money." Like, all that stuff was, at the time, it was, you know, you're looking at it and it's just like, you don't know what's going on. And you can't even understand how these people that you've seen get along for over a decade I worked together to put together the big three. I mean, championship parades, champagne baths, all this stuff. How can they not figure this little simple thing out? And it was jarring. It was really, really heartbreaking. But I will say at the end of the deal, when Dwayne Wade left, I thought the Heat were in the right.
Alex, everybody was emotional on social media as this was going on. I was dealing with this on a night to night basis. And I can't emphasize enough how emotional Dwayne was. And I remember thinking to myself, why is it that he and Pat can't get on the same page? And that was a question that Dwayne kept asking over and over. You know, I don't know why he's not talking to me. People around him were saying, I don't know why he's not talking to me. Now, Pat has since acknowledged that was a mistake, that he should have gotten involved. I think people forget that the summer before, Pat had to kind of get out of the way because he and Henry Thomas, you know, maybe rest in peace, were not really connecting. And it really wasn't until Dwayne went over to the Arisons and Mickey and Nick, you know, made the 1-year, $20 million deal that it got done. But I guess when you look back at it, who did you blame, Pat or Dwayne?
You see, I was never one to blame with this situation. I think there was very fair points from both sides about this, right? And you were kind of reminiscing on it today, but I was actually thinking about that recently, about that segment that you had with Levitard when you were on 790, and you were kind of giving the perspective of Wade's side on the situation, and Levitard was giving Riley's side. And I came out from that like, yeah, I get it from both of their perspective. And I think if I had to pick one, I would probably pick Wade, just because of, you know, he kind of has a tiebreaker in every which way for considering his impact on the franchise, which we don't even really need to get into. And I think that's why I probably give him the edge there. At the end of the day, it was an unfortunate situation that I think turned out better than we would have acknowledged it could have turned out at that time. And how could we have known? But I was an extremely emotional day for me as well.
And the decision to go to Chicago, that was the other thing. I felt like at the time it was the only thing Dwayne could justify.
Yeah.
And he was trying to do it in his head. He was trying to do it with people to kind of explain, you know, that, okay, this is home, but it never felt like home. The last column I wrote about him before he left, which was for 1A of the Herald, was about him going there. And it was written, I was with Mike Wallace. Dwayne gave a camp or had a camp before he left. Downtown. I always forget the facility he was at. And I was just talking to a lot of people who were around him, who Lisa Joseph and Lisa's husband, Bobby, and everybody else who ended up doing the video for Last Dance. And they were all around him and they just kept, you know, saying, yeah, he's miserable. He's miserable. Like he looked miserable. Like he just didn't want to go. Like they were supposed to go to Chicago to plan a press conference and they were kind of putting it off. Like he didn't want to leave. Like he never wanted to leave. I think it's interesting you to say you didn't blame anybody, because I felt like everybody at the time was blaming somebody. And 75% of people were blaming Pat. And I think when you mentioned, you know, when I mentioned to
I was on the other side of first, I was definitely feeling like, okay, 2 years, 20 mil, just like Alf said, seems fair for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see now, like that was an outside perspective, whereas you have kind of given us some more of the inside perspective, was if Wade really felt like they weren't trying, I kind of believe him. I'm sure he didn't want to leave. I don't think he was just saying that just to have an excuse to leave. I think the Chicago point is a good one, whereas like if he was going to leave somewhere, it was to Chicago because they were competitive and had another star and it's where he's from. And we already knew he wanted to play there. But yeah, at the time, I was on the other side.
I think we forget sometimes and take for granted that these guys are human. Like, I've left jobs and taken pay cuts when I felt disrespected, right? Like, I think, you know, that's a very, very relatable thing. The job I have right now, I took a pay cut to come to this job because I was tired of being disrespected at the company I worked at. I was tired of being overworked. And eventually you just say, you know what, it's not about money. I just need to go somewhere and be happy. Now, unfortunately for Dwayne, it sounds like, but listen, that's just a part of life, right?
Well, I think part of it was, and I think we're so far out that I can tell some of this stuff. You know, I had a lot of conversations with Gabby during this time. And Gabby, you know, when she gets on a roll, she will talk a lot. And one of the things that she kept harping on was that Dwayne had looked at Pat as a father figure to him. And that's why it made it wasn't,
hurt him so
much. It hurt him. He was hurt. It wasn't just about the money. It was about not being valued. And I think everybody put that in the context of money. And I was trying to explain when I was on the radio every day, this isn't really about money. It was about how, look, I think any reasonable person, you know, could justify taking a run at Kevin Durant. Okay. I think Dwayne understood that to a degree, but the Whiteside thing, as much as there were other offers for him, other maxes, other possibilities, and the Heat had to act when they had to act if they wanted to keep him and they didn't want to lose the asset. And Pat obviously is old school about centers and everything
else.
What
a great asset that ended up turning out to be, by the way.
Oh, it got the Myers. Everybody's happy about Myers now. But they, I think the way that they looked at it, or he looked at it, was, you know, I did everything right. I gave up money. I got you LeBron.
Yep.
I played hurt. I did everything right. And here's this guy. And I don't think it was meant to disparage Hassan personally. I think actually Dwayne likes Hassan personally. But it was this guy who, like, you're trying to talk yourself into that he's someday going to do things right. And you're passing over me to take care of him. And you're not even communicating with me. And I think that's where it was painful. Like, he felt like he had a father figure who basically abandoned him. And I know there were reasons for it. Like I said, 2015, Pat was told to get out of the way. Okay. So I understand what he did, But when we had Labatard, look, Dan always will say that it wasn't Pat giving him everything. He had a very Riley-like spin on this. Okay. I think people kind of knew, as much as I tried to hide it, that I was communicating with Dwayne a lot. Not to say I don't have a relationship with the organization, and not to say that Dan didn't have a relationship with Dwayne, but Dwayne was angry at Dan at the time. Okay. I got a bunch of those texts too. Okay.
Where's he getting? So that wasn't a bit.
Oh no. He was angry at him. He was angry at him.
Because of that article?
No. Dwayne read the article for me on a DM string line for line. Okay.
Wow.
All right. So
I seriously thought that was a bit this whole time.
No. That was not a bit. I don't know what it is now. But I'm just saying at the time, no. And the other thing, you know, just like, I mean, a lot of this stuff was not bits. I mean, what Dan talks about how, you know, Pat sending him a column basically to write when LeBron left, and Dan, you know, talking him out of it and deciding not to do it. That was all true too. I wish Dan had showed me the column, but I tried. But that was not a bit. But I think what happened was, again, that Dwayne was just, I think he was confused. I think he was just confused that he wasn't valued. And, you know, he felt like he put it all out there for the organization. And here they're going, Whiteside, really? You know, really? Like, and that was kind of his reaction to it. And then I think to a certain degree, he wanted to make it hurt for them. And I think going to Chicago, calling it his home, all that stuff, it made it hurt. And
oh, don't forget, the most hurtful part was him calling Rondo the best point guard he ever played with. I'll never forget.
Oh, he did say that, right? Was that hurtful to Rio? Who was that hurtful to?
Hurtful to Rio, hurtful to Jason Williams, hurtful to Goran Dragic, that Rondo, the Bulls Rondo, we're not talking about Celtics Rondo in his prime, putting up a triple-double every game and, you know, beating the Cavs. No, we're talking about Bulls Rondo. I mean, I would never forget that, Wade.
Well, that's right. Well, there were a lot of things I think that he said at the time that he wanted to get the point across. I mean, Dwayne was listening to everything on the radio. Like, Dwayne was in New York, and I think he was doing this with others too. He messaged me and said, when are you on today? You know, I mean, he was listening to everything. He wanted to know everything that was happening. And I just think that it got to a point with him where, you know, I think one of the fascinating things about covering the elite of the elite that I didn't realize before I started doing this is that everybody's insecure about this stuff. Like Shaq's one of the most insecure athletes I've ever covered. LeBron was insecure about things. And during this period, Dwayne was insecure about stuff, about where he stood with the organization, with the community, everything else. And he really didn't want to go. And he went because of it. We're going to continue this conversation. And later we're going to talk about sort of how this played out and whether or not it ended up being the best thing for Dwayne, for the organization. But I want to bring somebody on. We've got a bunch of new sponsors in the Five Reasons Sports Network. We're going to be working with this one for quite a while going forward. You can find them. They just launched a website called our guy is Chris Chase, and he just launched a website called safecubbies.com that's just up in the past week, so you can check that out. But what we want to actually bring Chris in on this particular conversation. Before we do, Chris, tell everybody a little bit about your business, and then we'll kind of get to the meat of this, because I know as a Heat fan, you experienced this firsthand also.
Hey, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say I'm excited to be on here, Ethan. I'm very impressed with what you have done with the network. It's fantastic. Alex, Alphonse, I miss the post-game analysis. You guys are doing a fantastic job. That being said, I had a trade show exhibit company, which I still have, obviously, because of COVID. Kind of, I'm the first company to where everything shut down, and I'm going to be the last one to come back because conventions and all that stuff are going to be down for a while. So real quick, Safe Cubbies came about. Even before COVID, I wanted to redo my offices, and I couldn't find really cool cubicles. And one of my coworkers said to me, hey, Chris, why don't we just do it ourselves? And I was like, wow, that's kind of a cool idea. Let's do that. Then COVID hit, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, the open floor plan is ending and it's time, you know, let's do this. So we started designing it and we made a new cubicle system that's modern and clean and beautiful. It works for COVID and open floor plan, but it's really a long-term situation. So I'm excited about it. And we just launched this week and I'm happy to be, you know, promoting it out here and being part of this, you know, program to do it.
All right, well, now let's throw you in the fire. Since you're here, you made the mistake of praising Alex and Alf for post-game analysis, so I won't
make a mistake.
Well, when Alf shows up, I'm just saying.
That's true. After the game, that's a good point.
I miss him sometimes.
I got to go home.
You're the one. He's the one with the day job. Alex has all kinds of jobs. How did you experience this as a fan, but also, I mean, you're in the business world and you kind of deal with relationships and the interaction, and we were communicating a little bit on text before this about, you know, the disconnect that happened between Pat and Dwayne. How did you experience it?
All right, let me just first say this. I've been completely depressed without basketball. So, you know,
understood. Same.
It's been brutal. But that being said, you know, I'm a person that just goes forward, whatever. But as far as this topic, as far as Dwayne and Pat, I mean, it comes down to communication. You know, you touch on it. The reality is it's old school. I think Ethan kind of touched on that. And it's new school with Dwayne. I mean, the evolution of the sport and the way that players have evolved in their thinking and being, you know, part of the business versus just kind of being a part of the business. I think that's pretty much what, you know, I can relate to. You know, I'm 48 years old, right? Even though you can't tell. You probably think I'm like 30. But
same 40. With me. Same with
right.
me.
40, exactly.
47, look 28. So it happens.
But I have a partner in my previous business that's 80. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of times the communication, I have to really just kind of be open about it and say, look, this is how things are going to be and how they are, where he's old military and old school. And it's the communication is a little sometimes off. So I think that a lot of the issue was just the fact that, and I think, you know, I'm not like Ethan, I don't have the, you know, the tentacles in, you know, to the Heat organization, but I'll be honest with you. A lot of the times it's just communication, and Dwayne probably just wanted better communication, and he's a big boy and he could probably take it. And I think that's what all this led to. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it, I think the communication breakdown, but which was from Pat mostly in his view, but I also think it's the wanting the validation, and I just don't think he got the validation pretty much from anybody, and you're still waiting. It's kind of like, okay, this hits close to home for a lot of us, but I think like it's kind of like you're in a relationship with somebody and you say you're going to leave. You're going to leave. If you don't do this, I'm going to leave. If you don't change, I'm going to leave. If you don't show me that you care, I'm going to leave. And then you leave and no one chases after you. you're like, oh, wait a second. Why did you chase after me?
Ethan, he got the validation when, I'm telling you, he basically carried the last, you know, that one season. I mean, I was there all the time. It was, everybody was there for Wade. When he finally came back, I think that validation was solid.
When he came back, but I'm talking about beforehand.
I know. He didn't get it then, but he eventually got it, and I think that Riley saw that.
Yeah, no, he did get it. And that's what we're going to get to next, and I want to touch on that, and let's get to it actually right away. Let's do this now.
All right.
We look back at this now 4 years later, everything that happened, him coming back in the for the second round pick, which again never really cashed out, the Last Dance tour. I put this on Twitter today and some people objected to this. I'll start with you, Alex. You know, if you still had Dwayne, you probably don't have Bam now, because you wouldn't have been positioned most likely after the 16-17 season to draft him. You probably don't have Jimmy, because that whole conversation about Jimmy coming here to Miami seems to have started when they played together. You might not have Tyler Hero because of the way the things played out. In the end, when you look at all those, and there are people who objected to this, they, you know, of Heat Beat, Giancarlo Navis made a relatively compelling case that, you know, you would have been better off and you'd want to sign the Tyler Johnson contract and everything else that happened after that. See, can we look back at this and say this was for the best?
I think the compelling point that he made that I'm still kind of not sure where I stand on it is that they would have had more, capital to use with that money that they gave to Tyler Johnson and others. I would have to actually look at that to see if that's true. But if that is true, I might kind of see it both ways, right? Because if they did have the money to use in free agency, you're right. They wouldn't have, you know, they wouldn't have been able to land Bam, because they probably have a higher spot. Or maybe they would have, right? Because Bam wasn't supposed to go that high at the time. We don't know. But I can kind of see it both ways.
Alf, is there any way you can look back at it and say it turned out for the best?
Yeah, you can say, I mean, it didn't feel like it until like a year ago. Before then, it didn't feel like anything turned out for the best. Now, for Dwayne's career and his legacy in Miami, I do think it actually turned out for the best. So if you look at it from that standpoint, I think he was starting to become, even by the fan base here, underappreciated right when he was leaving. I think that was a part of everything that happened. I think the LeBron years, that 2014 season where he just, he just was not himself in the finals. I think his star was, which sounds weird, was actually starting to like dull a little bit in Miami. And I think him leaving and coming back created a whole new appreciation for Dwayne. So on Dwayne's side and his legacy and you know, him going down as the greatest athlete in the history of Miami and South Florida, I think it was actually it did work out for the best. For the Heat, it's hard to say, right? Because even if Dwayne had stayed, you'd still have the Hassan Whiteside contract. Now, yes, they wouldn't have handed out some of the other deals that they handed out, but who knows what else they would have done in a win-now situation
exactly, with
Dwayne Wade as their best player.
Right.
They never really bottomed out, but, I mean, they bottomed out just at some point just because they weren't good enough, and they would have been a better team if Dwayne was here. And then also, the Chris Bosh situation happens no matter what. So what does that look like with you're paying Dwayne 20, you're paying Chris Bosh 25, and you're paying Hassan 22, right? What does that look like? So I think it's hard to say that things would have been better off if he had stayed. I think now you look at it this year, it's hard to look at the team they've put together and the guys they drafted, the undrafted guys they brought in, and say, oh, how could it have been any better than this? Well, but, I mean, it's hard to play these, you know, these hypotheticals because there's so many factors. And to me, the biggest factor is a Chris Bosh injury.
You know what's interesting to me?
Right, go ahead.
Is the summer of 17, which was the year after Wade left, the year after they ended up signing Hassan and Tyler Johnson, and the summer, of course, where they signed Deion and James Johnson and Olynyk to the four-year contracts. What would have gone differently about that summer if they would have signed Wade instead? Would they have signed? Would they have re-signed Tyler? I don't know. It doesn't really seem like they would have had, you know, they would have signed Hassan, Wade, and Tyler each to $20 million plus. Or I mean, well, no, Tyler wouldn't have made $20 million in the first year. But you know what I'm saying? So three big contracts that summer. It didn't seem like that was their plan. So I think there is so many factors, and it's like if they never do, if they sign Wade, do they ever sign Deion and JJ? That probably doesn't. You know, they're probably not as bad as being able to get that 13th pick.
Well, they probably don't sign Deion, right? I mean, but they got Deion for 1 year, 2.7.
That was in 2016. Yeah,
2016, yeah. Right? So do they re-sign him the year? Well.
Yep.
I mean, okay, well, if Dwayne was still there in 16-17 playing close to the level he played at in 15-16, then Deion doesn't get the kind of minutes that he got. So you're probably not encouraged in any way to make the mistake that they made, giving Deion 4 years at 50.
They don't even sign Deion for $2.7 million that summer, I don't think.
Probably not, right? Because they had those deals all ready to go. That was one of the amazing things was then, this is an Andy thing, but they basically had like five deals ready to go. Remember, not only the four signings, but they had Luke Babbitt trade lined up. It was like, oh my God, how long have they been planning this? or did Andy just whip this up in 3 minutes? They had all these things ready to go. But by the way, Dwayne noticed that too. He noticed that too. He recognized that it was like, oh, wait a second.
They made like 15 deals in the 30 minutes after he
let the door hit you. Okay, we got.
So you probably don't even have a James Johnson to resign. You never know, right?
Right.
Who they would have brought in, but a lot of those names wouldn't have been here. But at the same time, like I said, you still had the Bosh injury and the Whiteside contract to deal with. Plus, Ethan, now you're playing Dwayne $20 million.
Ethan, can I ask you guys one thing?
Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Mine is Jimmy. Who's the core four?
You mean on what?
On the Heat. Who's the core four, the young core four?
Bam, Hero, Robinson at this point. And who we say, DJJ, guys, at this point?
I'm going none, but you guys –
I was going to say, does none count in here? Because I would throw him
I would. DJJ. To me, that's a core four. So as long as we funnel down to those four to me, that's it. I'm happy.
Well, so let's look at all these players individually. What would have ended up happening? First thing, let's look at the 15-16 team, okay? We can all talk about how they might have made the Eastern – they would have made the Eastern Conference Finals if Hassan doesn't get hurt, right? But also, you had Luol Deng was coming up as a free agent, right? And we saw the money that he got with the Lakers. That wasn't something that they were willing to pay. You had Josh and Justice emerging, but I don't know. But again, Bosh's situation changes the whole dynamic of it, right? Because you thought you were going to have him going forward. If you don't, what was really the upside of that team? And then, like I think Chris is talking about here, the Heat turned to a developmental focus when Dwayne left, right? So, you know, they didn't get none at that time. They didn't get Robinson at exactly that time. But the organization kind of turned the way that it was operating a little bit, and it became more Spo-centric. He got more of his coaching staff in at around that time, more of a developmental staff. And so it is hard to say exactly what direction they would have gone, but would all those guys have been here? I'm not sure. I think the point that one of you made earlier is if you still had Dwayne – and you were giving him the Kobe contract, and it wasn't quite the Kobe contract, but it was significant. If you still had Dwayne, you were going to be playing to win big as long as he was here, right? And so if you did, you probably don't do some of the things developmentally that you ended up doing with him leaving. I think the Heat had the right approach. We've talked about this many times by signing all those one-year deals when Dwayne left. The mistake, of course, was the re-signs. but it wasn't the signings at the time. It seemed like they had the right approach, which is we'll take a flyer on guys, see if we hit, and at the same time, we'll start to create more of a developmental culture in the organization again.
And they hit, man. They hit hard. Wow. Well,
they did, and that's the thing. So I guess if we look at it that way, I mean, which of those guys, Alf, do you think would be here? I mean, how different would this team look? Probably very different.
Very different, just because you don't have – you, who knows where you're falling in the lottery, right? I don't know if they've been significantly better. I mean, they probably still would have been a middle of the pack team. So maybe you do get Tyler and maybe you do get Bam. But like you're saying, the identity of the team changed when Dwayne left. They became a more spread it out. It became a much better 3-point shooting team where now guys like Duncan and Tyler are prioritized, where maybe they wouldn't have if you had 2 more years of Dwayne and, Dwayne was never a ball stopper, but it was more of an ISO half-court offense. So I think it changes the entire way they play. You know, maybe they don't invest in a guy like Bam. Maybe they're going more for like a guy who is ready to play and ready to win right now, because Bam seemed like more of a project when he was drafted. So the whole mindset of the organization, I feel like, would be different. You know, Spo became, like you said, it became Spo-centric. Spo became the biggest star on this team over the last 4 years, you know, until Jimmy walked through the door. You know, it's Spo or Dragic, right? So I think Spo wins out, and Spo became, you know, 30-11 put Eric in on a different echelon as far as coaches in the NBA. So, yeah, I think when you talk about who would be here, I don't know if any of these guys would be here if Dwayne had never left. And that includes Jimmy, by the way.
I think that's the main one right there. Mm-hmm. Would Jimmy be here? I think that's even the biggest thing in question. Because, again, Hero and Bam were both guys who were supposed to go – what is it, higher or lower in the draft? Which one's the right one that I'm looking for here?
Yeah, they were both supposed to go after they did. He took them early, supposedly, both of them.
Exactly. So it's hard to tell if they would have still got those guys because of that specific context. But other than that, Jimmy seems like the right answer here, right? Like without that extra boost from Wade while they played together – where it seems like they were, you know, it was very much them versus everybody else in that locker room. I don't know if that's the same thing. I don't know if he ends up coming.
And it's not just that, Alex. It's the way that when Dwayne came back, the way he was treated by the organization and the fans, that season that he had, I mean, I think it put the Heat back into a national picture. And it also put the Heat in a more positive light as an organization. So does that happen if Dwayne Wade just stays here and just declines over 2-3 years? Or did him leaving and coming back and having this crazy, you know, reunion?
Well, I guess that depends on what they do with the money during that time while Wade was theoretically re-signed.
But let's also think of it this way. At the time that Dwayne – I know in the 15-16 season he was somewhat healthier. But, you know, the health that he found when he came back was not what he had when he left, right? And so I wonder if he steadily declines here, like on the Heat's watch, without going to Chicago and then going to Cleveland and basically being dumped for, you know, a conditional second round pick, how the fans would have dealt with that. I feel like to a certain degree, the fans, and I'll go to Chris on this too, like I feel like the fans, the fact that Dwayne went somewhere else and there was a little bit of decline in these two other cities, and then there was also some tumult in Chicago where Dwayne was painted as the bad guy, which never happened here in Miami, right?
And Cleveland,
both places. It was like, okay, wait a second. Like, they're on our guy. Like, they're on our guy. Like,
yeah,
our guy,
like, okay, you don't want him. Give us our guy back.
Give us our guy back. And then Kobe Altman has a call with Andy Ellisberg and basically says, hey, this is the right thing to do, okay? And I know Kobe.
I'm going to just tell you like it is, Ethan, Alf, and Alex. Here's the reality. As a fan, right, we were miserable. We had nothing good to watch. It wasn't fun. It wasn't entertaining, right? We missed it. And when Dwayne came back and he put on his show, we knew we weren't going to win titles. We knew it. It was fine. It was a swan song. It was completely – we just loved it. It was fun to watch. We watched it every single day. I didn't miss a game. My wife, my kids, it was fantastic. We didn't care. We knew it. Okay, we accepted for what it was. And then that's a fact. And that's what happened.
And I think that's the thing. I think it is a distance makes the heart grow fonder, like from all directions. I don't think The Last Dance goes the way that it went if he doesn't leave, because there was an appreciation. And again, if he was a declining, let's put it this way. If he was a declining player, and I was in favor of them keeping him at the time, I was emotional about it. I was a Dwayne guy. Okay, I wanted him to stay. I wanted them to take care of him. But if he declines, like, again, Kobe declined, right? And the 60-point game aside, right, he declined. And the Lakers declined to the end with Kobe, right?
Yep.
And so if Dwayne declines, is still taking last shots, and the team around him craters, and Chris is gone, and everything else that happened, you don't have these young, exciting players that they've since added. Like, I do feel like it would have soured that whatever his end was.
100%. Right? Him leaving and then coming back was the game changer. If he stayed, no, it would have been not good.
Do you think when you look back at that last year, did it make, Al, for you as a fan, and I know obviously Dwayne meant a lot to you in a lot of different ways, did it make the leaving worth it? The fact that he has the game against Philadelphia, the fact that, you know, in the playoffs the year before, and then, you know, obviously in the last year he has the triple-double and everything else, did it make the leaving worth it?
I think it did. I really do, because we don't treat – even as fans down here, Miami fans do not treat our heroes really well on the way out. I mean, you had Dolphins fans screaming to bench Marino. I mean, it's just what happens down here. And it's not that we're fair weather or bandwagon or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, we are a little bit. We all know. But, I mean, fans can be harsh. And one thing Dwayne did not deserve was, you know, the harshness of a fan base who's mad about seeing their team lose. What happened that last year is, even when the team was losing, the fans were just so happy to have Dwayne back that it just didn't matter, right? I mean, people were upset they didn't make the playoffs, and they lost some really bad games against really bad teams. But the most important thing was that, you know, Dwayne was back. He's playing in a Vice jersey. You know, he's getting triple doubles in his last game. He's standing up on the on the scores table again. He's hitting game winners versus Golden State. I mean, that's all that mattered that last year. So yeah, I think it made it all worth it, in my opinion, because like you said, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and nothing made you appreciate Dwayne more than him looking a little bulky in a Cleveland Cavs uniform. it was like, bring my guy home, please. Like, he needs Cuban cooking and he needs to be taken care of, because whatever's happening over there in Cleveland is terrible.
Well, the Cleveland thing was the most ridiculous. Chicago, I can understand. And I know you go play with LeBron, but they were never going to recapture anything that they had. And I just remember so many conversations I had with Dwayne mocking Cleveland. That even after LeBron left, I mean, I would come back.
I mean, he mocked them publicly too, when he laughed at the thought of
no, he did. Well, that was my interview. That was the whole
thing. Like a year before.
Yeah, right? No, to me and Wallace. Yeah, we were in front of his locker. We were talking about Cleveland. He just started laughing for a minute. And Mike and I were like, how do we even capture that in a story? Because it wasn't on video. And like, just write ha 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 ha. And that was all it was. And then all of a sudden he was going to Cleveland. And I was in Cleveland the 14-15 season, going back and forth covering the Heat and the Cavs, but more the Cavs than the Heat. And every time I would come back, like, Dwayne and Udonis would like ask me, like, so how bad is it up there? You know, like, that was, and then all of a sudden, like, Dwayne was there, and like, even UD couldn't handle it. And it was just weird. Like, the Cleveland thing, I think Chicago, we understood. I think everybody understood. I think the Cleveland thing, you know, just
Cleveland
again,
was became, sad.
Like, was
Cleveland
sad. Was it was
really,
sad.
Really, really. He couldn't get a proper haircut. he couldn't get his beard lined up properly. Like, it was just like a sad old.
I'm sure,
Dwayne.
It was just that he never trusted the barbers over. He just never did anything. Listen, during that whole time, okay, there.
When I've lived in other states, like, I would shave my head bald. Like, I lived in North Carolina. I've lived in Georgia. I've lived in Louisiana.
Dwayne did in Beijing and in 08?
Yes, I would shave my head bald until I came home for, like, you know, I came down to Miami for Christmas or another holiday or just a weekend, and I go to my same barber I've been going to since 2006, and I'm like, please fix my head, because I don't trust barbers in some of these other cities. Now, I could imagine Cleveland, like, I don't even know if they have, like, modern clippers or if they're still using all scissors. Like, I don't know what's happening in Cleveland. But obviously, from the look of Dwayne, he did not trust them, and I don't blame him.
I never thought about it being about the barbers, but I guess it was about the barbers. I don't think he found the places to eat he wanted to find up there. There are just a lot of things he wasn't comfortable with. And I do think, looking back at it, Coby Altman, you know, for all the hate that's directed at the Cavaliers, I mean, they did the Heat a solid there. Like, I, you know, and I'm almost surprised that it happened under Dan Gilbert's watch, considering the acrimony between the two organizations. I mean, I've told the story before about how, you know, David Griffin was trying to get Norris Cole up there in Cleveland, and there was a couple of three-way deals that were worked out. They were done the year of the 14-15 season that would have gotten Norris to Cleveland through another team, and that both times that Pat found out that Norris was going to be routed to Cleveland from the team he was trading him to, Pat killed the deals. I mean, that was
the same trade deadline that they landed Dragic, right?
Yes. Yeah. So there was a lot of stuff that happened during that time. So I was a little bit surprised, but again, from, you know, everything that was reported, it was Coby and Andy who worked this thing out, and Spo was surprised. Remember when Andy told him you're going to get your guy back, and Spo was like, what? And I'll always remember Whittingham and I doing a podcast that day, because as we all know, Chris was, you know, not the biggest Dwayne stan. And I said, just embrace it, man. Like, everybody's going to enjoy this. I don't think the expectations, it's like Chris is talking about, I don't think the expectations were that high for his return in terms of winning a championship. And I think when you look back at it, the only other thing I wanted to cover tonight was, you know, making the playoffs last year. There was a lot of debate the last couple weeks of the season. Like, would it have been better for them to make it and get blown out by the Bucks in the first round, or to end the way it ended with him and Jimmy Butler here in Miami, and then Dwayne going up to Brooklyn and making a pass to Udonis basically for a jumper for that triple-double assist to get there, the Dwayne's first triple-double in like 7 years. It kind of worked out perfect, right? Like, I mean, if you, I mean,
100%,
right?
Perfect. I wouldn't change anything.
I mean, much better, right? I mean, if he loses 4-0 to the Bucks, how are we feeling?
This is a thing. Everybody wanted it, but what you did not want was Dwayne to go out there and have a sad playoff performance in a sweep.
Correct. Exactly.
You know, I'm talking about 12 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds on 34% shooting or something like you did not want to see that happen. So the way they went out, listen, I know that I'm not going to sit back, because someone could probably go find my tweets from last year where I was hyper disappointed where they didn't make the playoffs. But when you look back at it, you see, first of all, it put them in a position to get Tyler Herro, who we all think is going to be a star one day. And second of all, the last two games of Dwayne Wade's career will always go down in our memories as great games, as fun games, and it's not sad playoff Dwayne, you know, booted in the first round. It just isn't.
No, Alex, Alex, what were you rooting for at the time?
I mean, listen, again, this is another one, man. I don't want to be the cop-out guy, but I was seeing it both ways. I was just telling myself that I would find a way to be happy with both, because I definitely wanted to see Dwayne in the playoffs one more time. It's just against everything in me to not want Dwayne in the playoffs, and for him to not, you know, to finish his career not in the playoffs, I thought was wrong. But then, you know, we get some draft picks. It's not the worst case scenario. And like I said, it's not like we were missing, you know, one of Dwayne's prime years or last prime years. So, you know, I'm glad that it happened at the end of his career rather than in the middle of his prime.
No, at the time we wanted it to happen. Let me just say this. At the time, absolutely, we're rooting for it to get Lynn back. That's the reality is, you know, it worked out.
And so the only question is this to end with. Will we ever Jimmy's come in, he's taken the town by storm, but he's not Dwayne, he's not homegrown. Bam is homegrown, but you know, he's kind of been anointed as next. Dwayne seems to want him to be next, and he said that. Bosh seemed to have wanted to be next. LeBron came in and obviously did what he did, but will there ever be another, Alf? Will there ever be another that reaches Dwayne's not just brilliance, but connection with the town and longevity, all of those things?
they would have to do something fantastic in the playoffs in their first year. That's what Dwayne did and just never stopped, right? That's the thing about Dwayne. There wasn't a slow build. Like, there wasn't like years, 2 years of him coming off of the bench and, potential. And, I hope he's good. No. Year one, hitting game winners in the playoffs, going to the second round, taking Indiana Pacers team that was actually really good, and giving them a hard series. Second year, Eastern Conference Finals. Third year, Finals MVP. And just never really looked back. Even the years where they missed the playoffs or they were out in the first round. I mean, he was one of the, if not the best, one of the top three players in the league. So, like, it just has to start on such a high note and never really, really come down for anybody else to reach that pinnacle. Now, if you're talking about other sports, Tua can do it. If Tua comes out first year, makes the playoffs, second year, conference championship, if he's in the Super Bowl in the first 3, 4, 5 years of his if his career, because how big the Dolphins are down here, Tua can be that guy, and he has that personality, and he has that name recognition, and just people like him already, and the way the fan base is already reacting to him. But, I mean, if it takes, 6, 7, 8 years, he's not – everyone's going to start comparing, Dwayne did it from day one. So that's where it's going to be hard. It's going to be almost – it's damn near impossible to do what Dwayne did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if there's any other better way to put it, right? I think I'll set it pretty succinctly. No one's going to get close to this, I don't think, on the Heat anytime soon. As much as I love Jimmy, Bam, and Hero, I think they're all great in the foundation – the future of the Heat, and they're awesome. They just don't compare. And I think I also agree with Al that Tua has the potential to do it. He has a head start over Wade because he came out with the high profile and with kind of being the biggest prospect in football other than I'm blanking on his name right now. The one who went number one, Joe Burrow. Mm. It was basically them too. It was like if they would have gotten basically LeBron or Carmelo in that 03 draft instead.
No, and Alf nailed it. I mean, the reality is Marino dropped his 48 touchdowns in year two. I mean, right? And that's
exactly
pretty much just elevated it to that point.
Yeah, I think that, like Alf said, it has to happen early. But I also think a player has to hit on something in a community. And I think what Dwayne hit on in this community was – he was vulnerable in a lot of ways, and I think people saw that, and so he was touchable for a lot of people. You didn't feel, and maybe it's because when he really became big, he was with Shaq, and Shaq was the larger than life figure when he first came in, and so Dwayne seemed like the easier to connect with. He wasn't 7'2". He wasn't he looked more like you or I could look than Shaq did. Just from a size standpoint and everything else. And there was a connection there. But I also think people saw Dwayne grow up. When he first came in, I've always said this, I felt like I had nothing to talk to him about. And then over time, he's become this sort of, figure in so many different walks of life at this point where he has something to say about everything. And that wasn't him at the time. And I think people saw him grow up. They saw him deal with tragedy. They saw him deal with adversity in a bunch of different ways, and he became more and more human. And I just don't know that we're ever going to see an athlete who connects that way for such a long period of time in this place.
I will say that's why it's going to be hard for Tua, because he's come in with so much fanfare. That growth that you're talking about, that the fan base down here, guys like Alex, guys like me, I'm older than Dwayne, but a guy like Alex, I'm about the same age as Dwayne, actually, but a guy like Alex who grew up with Dwayne and saw him, go through all these, went from a guy that was just ours to becoming a national guy. Tua seems like he was a national guy that became ours, right? So the fanfare is different.
He's like LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just so much more. There's so many more expectations on Tua. So it'll almost never feel like we're fighting for our guy. Like we always would fight for Dwayne because we grew up with Dwayne. Tua has come to us as a known commodity. So it's like, you don't have the same sense of, I don't want to say ownership, or I guess the same, you know, the same sense of like, this is our guy, right? It almost feels like he's a Bama guy living in Florida.
But that'll change real quick if they win.
It will. I think it's going to be really hard for him to live up to all the expectations.
For sure. No doubt.
All right, Chris, before you go, tell people about your company, what you're going to be doing. You're going to be hearing a lot about safecubbies.com here with us over the next couple of months.
All right, I'll do the best I can. All right, so we, safecubbies.com, go to the website. You can find us on Twitter at safecubbies. The reality is we have a lot of different solutions that could fit any business, classroom, school, anywhere. It's all designed so if you have a kid that's going to a school and they want to, you know, if they're in a classroom, they can be protected and they can take off their masks so they're not sitting in a classroom with their mask all day. Same with businesses. You go into your corporate office, you sit down, you get in your space, you can take your mask off and relax. I have a lot of stuff on the website as far as blogs and supporting information that says this is probably going to be the way to go for a long time. So I just, you know, hope everyone goes to the website and learns about it, and we'll see.
All right, that's safecubbies.com. Again, follow 5reasonsports.com as well. Also, youbreakwheelfix.com. Get that 10% special off the four wheels. We are going to be on every day, Monday through Friday, on Dash Radio, on the Nothing But Net channel. Also, an announcement tonight, we've added another social media account to our kind of portfolio here. So look for that announcement on 5reasonsports.com and look for really cool content on the YouTube channel. We're happy that the NBA is giving us access to a lot of the things that are going on. And I can tell you that Alex and I are planning to get up to Orlando as media for the return of the NBA, if there is a return of the NBA, which we're hoping for. July 30th is when games start, August 1st for the Heat, and Alex and I are planning on being up there. Not in the bubble for 3.5 months, but as part of what's, I guess, called Tier 2B. Do you want to spend 2 or 3.5 months in the bubble? You can spend 3.5 months.
No, I'm good there.
All right, check out 5reasonsports.com, safecubbies.com, and, of course, youbreakwheelfix.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network.